This is the Dr. Chris Lib Podcast. Welcome to a special series called Bone Saws, Bring It Back. The class name for the University of Alberta Medical Class of 2013 is the Bone Saws, and we will have a 10-year class reunion in November 2023. As many people are planning to attend, I'm recording short interviews to help us all catch up. This episode's feature guest is Dr. Scott DeGraff. He completed his residency in psychiatry at the University of Toronto. Since 2018, he has worked as a psychiatrist at the Rocky View General Hospital in Calgary on the Crisis Stabilization Unit and in psychiatric emergency services. He lives in Calgary with his wife and three young children. Welcome to another episode of Bone Saws, Bring It Back. And today we've got Dr. Scott DeGraff. How are you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. All right. Well, why don't you start us off? Give us a summary of where your career has taken you.
Yeah. So after medical school, I matched in Toronto to do a residency in psychiatry. So I spent 5 years there and I did some elective time back in Calgary and Edmonton in my last year. I always knew I wanted to come back to Alberta. Toronto was designed to be kind of a five-year adventure with a plan to come closer to home when I was done. Looked for some jobs and ended up finding something at the Rocky View General Hospital here in Calgary. So I've been working there on staff full-time since 2018. And I work on the Crisis Stabilization Unit. So it's a short-stay inpatient psychiatric unit. Our focus is primarily people with adjustment disorders or personality disorders in crisis. And I work with a really great multidisciplinary team there where we help people learn better tools for coping and help them navigate the system. And then I also spend time working in the psychiatric emergency services team. So that's taking consults from the emergency room, usually around the need for admission to hospital and deciding on initial inpatient management. But most of the day, those days, is taken up rounding on many, many patients who are waiting for beds in the emergency room. Yeah, it's been a good gig. I do the odd weekend, just rounding on the unit, but I don't do any overnight calls, so that's been nice.
Wow, so your work really is such a frontline interface with patients experiencing mental health difficulties. So for my next question really is, you know, from your vantage point, your experience, your specialty, what is the state of medicine / healthcare?
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate, but when I thought about this question, it was really just doom and gloom that came to my mind, because I don't think the state of mental health care in Alberta is very healthy. I would say it's sort of in a prolonged, unsustainable crisis, at least on the inpatient side, which I think is a function of how things are working on the outpatient side as well. And, you know, as we know, the rates of mental health concerns have been increasing for years, and the pandemic obviously made everything worse. The availability of our supports, especially in the community, hasn't increased at the same rate. So every time I'm in the emergency room, I'm there seeing people are waiting for days for beds, right? Like, usually what I tell people is expect 1 to 2 days. Sometimes we get surprised and it's shorter, but typically it ends up being even longer than that. For some patients who are waiting for cure beds on the unit, we've had people there waiting for up to 2 weeks just in the emergency room for space. So it's pretty awful. And what ends up happening is, you know, anybody who decides that they've had enough ends up leaving, either against medical advice or we say, you know what, that makes sense. But they continue to suffer and then they come back and that just further adds to the backlog. Or worse, they decide that there's no help for them when they need it, right? And then we never find out what happens to those ones. So again, like I said, I think the main driver of this is the fact that there's not really good outpatient supports out there. I mean, there are good supports, don't get me wrong, but just not nearly enough of what we need. We end up having essentially a two-tier system where if you can afford to pay for a private therapy, you get really good care. But for people waiting for AHS, outpatient resources, some places it's up to a 9-month wait to connect with those services. So I think it's been really challenging. And my hope is that
the funding and the initiative catches up to the need. And that's what I'm facing sort of day to day.
Wow. And yeah, I guess it sounds like, you know, you're working to at least acclimatize to the state of the affairs as you go in, you know, to work, to round and see your patients. So then I guess my next question is, what excites you the most in your area of medicine?
Yeah, and I think what excites me is in a similar vein, because I do think that there is this growing appreciation in society and the culture at large about the importance of mental health. And we do see more and more people, especially young people, who are deciding that they need to put their mental health as a priority and reaching out to get the help that they need. And then when we are able to meet that need, we see really exciting things happen. I think people are becoming more aware of the value of exploring their emotions and learning to approach their problems differently. And I just hope that we can sort of rise to the challenge of that and provide the resources that are going to be there and put our money where our mouth is when we say that mental health is health, right? So I think it's exciting. I would say that I'm cautiously optimistic that things will change in the future.
Well, I guess it's something to look ahead to, and I guess you're the one who is able to see where the trends are headed. So, shifting gears now, we graduated from the same medical class, and so just looking back, what is your favorite memory from medical school?
Well, there's so many memories, and this was another hard one, Chris. But when I thought about it, the one that I have to say that I know is dear to your heart as well is the Ectopic Beats concert that we did in fourth year. And we did a few shows, but I think the one in fourth year was the most valuable to me. And I was thinking about why that was. And I think it sort of was kind of a culmination of all the progress we'd done as a group, but also individually over those years of med school, right? And I think playing with the band was sort of like a microcosm of what happened in med school. Like when we started out, we were really, you know, getting to know each other, just sort of playing the songs as they were recorded, right? But then by the time we did that fourth year concert, we really made all those songs our own and put our own flair to it and really gelled as a team and a unit. And I think it just really captures all the growth that happened in medical school. And then to share that with each other, but also so many of our friends that night, just really capped things off. And that's got to be my favorite memory.
Yeah, that was so much fun. And I think we also decided to go all out for sure. And because now that we had the music down pat, because we were such pros, amateur pros or whatever, but then we even went and got costumes, and that was really good. And that was a good memory.
Yeah, I remember going to Value Village and picking out our costumes. That was a crucial part of the preparation process for sure.
Hey, that's called stage presence. That's experience. You got to know. We had to put
exactly.
on a show. That was good.
Exactly.
Okay, so then just as our last question here, what would you tell your younger med school version of yourself?
Yeah, so what I would tell the younger version of myself is that medical training is not a race to get to the end. I think inherent in our training is this sort of structure where you're always looking to the next milestone, right? And you're always focused on what comes next with the ultimate goal of finishing, right? And it can lead to a mindset of sort of jumping through hoops. Not that it's mindless necessarily, but when I think back, I think I was too focused thinking about the future at every stage. And I wish I had just been a little more mindful, like embracing where I was at the time, trying to enjoy things as they come. I mean, I had a great time in medical school, and I made sure that I had a balanced life and that it wasn't all medicine, right? But I think there was this sort of like video game, get to the next level kind of style. When I think back on my sort of inner experience of it back then, and I think probably quite a few of us in medicine fall victim to that, right? Like we want to get things done. We're achievers. We want to achieve those levels, right? But I think especially now being on the other side, thinking back and having kids and seeing like how quickly life goes by, watching them grow and everything, and trying to be more mindful of that now. I wish I could have had some of that back then. And certainly it's something that I would say to anybody that's starting off on that journey now.
Well, it sounds to me, Scott, that you are doing what you need to do to be present-minded and to keep yourself anchored, right? I think
totally.
Kudos to you for choosing to continue to be where you are. You know, I think to be in a place, in a specialty where you have ongoing exposure to fresh cases, fresh patients.
Yeah.
You know, I think
exactly
takes a type of person who's willing to do that. And I think the patients you take care of are very privileged to have you as their physician. So I'm just so glad that we're friends and that I can hear this about you. And I'm sure that your patients really appreciate you too.
I think most of them do.
That's great. Well, Scott, thank you so much for making the time to be on for the episode. And we'll look forward to catching up down the road.
Yeah, well, thanks, Chris. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for your kind words and for the opportunity to do this.